are staying alive right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Hoping everything's going to come out okay. Don't know if it is, but we've got another candidate for sheriff here with us today. John Long is our very special guest. How are you doing today, John Long?
I'm doing great, Ann.
How's everything going in the campaign?
It's going as well to be expected with the pandemic going on.
Well, the pandemic, and, you know, I would think now, really, sheriff's departments and law enforcement are front and center with what has been happening with George Floyd, all the rioting, and although they start out peaceful demonstrations, which I think we all think are a good thing, they seem to have turned across our country into riots and just a really, really big mess. What do you think about what's been happening there, John?
Well, I think the incident that was Mr. Floyd was involved in is tragic and heartbreaking, and it sheds a negative light on all of law enforcement, but that is not the way we should act as professionals. And I also want to go on to say that I feel like we're better than that in Greenwood, South Carolina, and I think that the people here in Greenwood, although we support peaceful protests, I don't think those protests should get out of hand.
I agree. But just up the road in Columbia, in down there at Myrtle Beach, down there at Charleston, we have had this, and it is a shame, and it is particularly a shame, as Tim Scott said when we had the Mother Emanuel shooting where 9 people were killed. We acted a whole lot different, and he was hopeful that we can tamp things down here in South Carolina and show them the way.
That's right. The message I'd like to put out to people is be leaders, don't be followers, and don't let some people from other parts of the county, I mean other parts of the state or other parts of the world or our nation, change how we are here in Greenwood, South Carolina.
That's true. Well, you're running for sheriff, and why are you running for sheriff?
Ann, I said early on in my career I was going to run for sheriff. I think I was on an interview with you a couple years ago, and when we were off the air, I told you I was going to run for sheriff.
Yeah, you did. But times change, things change, people change their minds about stuff. What's kept you with still wanting to be running for sheriff or be sheriff?
And I think that we're at a point in Greenwood County where we need some fresh leadership, and we need some energetic leadership, and we need to hit the ground running and make some changes, and changes for the better, and let's rock and roll.
Well, what do you think changes need to be made, John?
Well, I think we need to do an overall comprehensive approach on what resources we have, where we're best using our resources. I've seen over the last 4 years that our Uniform Patrol Division has been in last place when it comes to getting stuff and having full manpower. And I think they're the front line of the sheriff's office, and we need to make sure they're fully staffed at all times. That way we can provide the best service to people when they're calling in asking for help quick, fast, in a hurry.
Well, let's see. You worked for the Sheriff's Department. When did you start working at the Sheriff's Department?
I was hired in 2003 under the late Sheriff Riley. Mm-hmm. Then I worked for Sheriff Wideman. Mm-hmm. I worked for Sheriff Davis, and I worked a short stint under Sheriff Dennis Kelly.
This is probably unfair, but who did you like working for the best? That's just a question that popped into my brain here.
Well, you know, every sheriff has its quirks. Every sheriff has his strong points. Every sheriff has what he's not so good at. We're all not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Sheriff Riley was pretty laid back. Great guy. Didn't get in a hurry to make a decision. But you knew, this is probably going to come out wrong, you had to do something really wrong to get fired. So he would tell you where he stood, and he would tell you what he wanted to tell you, and he'd tell you to get out of his office. So he was pretty laid back. But when Sheriff Wideman came in, you know, Sheriff Riley had been there for a long time, so there was a lot of changes made. And then Sheriff Davis came in and made some more changes. And, you know, I don't want to say one over the other. I'm very grateful to all of them. And, you know.
Was there a piece of advice that one of them gave you? You don't even have to name a name that has always stuck with you as and become kind of something that you've seen that a way to handle things?
Yes. The piece of advice that one of them gave me one day was, this is not a marathon. It's a sprint. You have to get to the finish line. And if you try to do everything at one time, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. So you have to make sure you systematically do whatever changes or whatever you're trying to accomplish, because if you go too fast, you'll burn yourself out.
I think that's probably good advice in a lot of things, not just in the sheriff's or in law enforcement,
yes,
but
ma'am.
In a lot of businesses. I
yes,
think
ma'am.
we can take that for good advice. So you're from Greenwood.
Yes, ma'am.
Grew up here?
I was born in Charleston. My dad went to the Citadel, and we moved here when I was five. My grandparents always lived in Greenwood, and at the time, my dad wanted to move back to be near his parents, so that I've been here ever since.
And so what are you doing now for work?
Well, I resigned the Lawrence County Sheriff's Office on December 1st of 19 to run my campaign, but I have a campaign office at my brother's business, Lakeland's Overhead Door.
And a shameless plug, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, yeah. And I help him run his business, and you know, I'm grateful that he allows me to be there and get involved in the family business, but I have the freedom to do what I need to do with my campaign.
That sounds good. And any other businesses?
I own M&M Jewelry.
Yep. Yes, ma'am. Jewelry. Another plug. Okay. And
she's going to be calling me in a little bit, wanting me to advertise.
Probably. That's a good idea. You should. Number two. And so at the Lawrence Sheriff's Office, you were the school resource coordinator. Is that right?
I was over the school resource officer program. I handled their accreditation process. And I ran a program called Changing Attitudes Together. And it's not specifically a DARE program, mm-hmm. but it has some, you know, life elements in it that these children need to know, like suicide prevention, drug prevention, gang violence.
How long did you have the program?
Two years. Yes, ma'am.
Were you making any inroads?
I think we were. I think it was too early to judge it, mm-hmm. but I still see children out in the community today that talk to me and say, hey, I was in your class. So we were teaching it to second, third, and fifth grade students, mm-hmm. and they all seemed to like it. You know, it had some good, you know, how to have a positive attitude, things that we felt were relevant to students today.
So, if you become the sheriff here, what's one of the first things you would do?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would look at all the positions within the sheriff's office and make sure we have everybody in the right place. They're doing what they're best suited doing, because you might have a guy that works uniform patrol and be great at it, but if you put him in investigations, he's not so good at it. Or you have somebody, you might have a shining star in the jail that needs to be a uniform patrol officer. So I would do a top to bottom review of all of the positions and who we have in those positions. And number two, I would aggressively start recruiting people, because people are not wanting to just come to public safety. You have to give them an opportunity, and we need to make sure our positions are filled at all times.
Do you know how many open positions we have right now?
I do not. Nobody will tell me, but I know that we're supposed to have 76 deputy positions. I don't know how many of them are open right now, but I do know this. The first 3 years of this administration, there were double-digit openings, and that significantly impacts your response times, because when somebody calls 911, you don't have the manpower to send them to these calls. So if you have openings, it impacts your response times.
Now, in the sheriff's department, are they supposed to ride single or double people, or what is the protocol here in Greenwood?
We are single man units.
Okay.
Sometimes we have double man units when you're training somebody. You have an FTO and you have the cadet with you, but we're single man units, and on any given day, there's seven people to a shift, which in my opinion is not enough. I've been
to cover this whole county. And yes. It's a huge county.
Well, I've been advocating for some time now, Ann, that, you know, the county council, that eventually we have to add some more deputies, because we're adding industry, we're adding all these extra things in our community, but we're not adding people to cover the needs of our community. So it's something that people frown upon because of tax dollars, and it's not something you could do overnight, but we need to put a plan in place so we know, hey, by 2028, we're going to have this many deputies patrolling the streets. But currently it's seven deputies on four shifts, so you have about 28 people on uniform patrol.
That's not a lot for a county this size.
It's not. No, ma'am.
And I would question how they can be visible in all parts of the county.
You can't. With what you currently have, and let's say, let me break this down to you, Ann. You have seven people on a shift. Let's say one of them's on vacation and one of them's out on sick. Mm-hmm. Now you have five. And your hot spots are around where you have businesses and, you know, some of your areas that have, you know, high traffic. But it easily can go from seven to four like that. Mm-hmm. So I believe that we need to at least have a plan in place to say, hey, we're going to have this many deputies on the road by 2025. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a county of this size, 10 deputies per shift is a good number.
So if we are doing this, you're going to be increasing the budget probably by quite a bit. But you don't even, I don't believe at this present time, have all the slots filled.
No. You have to make, and that is one of my things, Ann. I will make sure that our Uniform Patrol Division is fully staffed before I look at anything else. You know, I support the Rural Deputy Program. I support all of the support roles, but we have to make sure the front line of the sheriff's office is full before we move to anything else, because that's where it really matters. When Ann Eller calls 911 and says somebody's holding a gun to my head, that's where it matters.
Right.
So
exactly.
That's why my approach would be to make sure that Uniform Patrol is the front line of the sheriff's office and that they would be taken care of first.
Do you, you know, That's one issue. Another issue, though, is the gun violence that we have here in Greenwood.
Yes, ma'am.
It is tremendous. Just last week, we had the shooting over there on Sylvain.
Yes, ma'am.
And that was related to the shooting that was down there in Myrtle Beach.
Yes, ma'am.
And we just can't seem to get away from the violence. And number two, that is actually going to impact our community long term, because businesses and people moving into this area are not going to come here if we can't get this under control. Now, a year, what is it, going on 2 years ago when we had the mall shooting, everybody was up in arms and this was going to change and that was going to change. But in my opinion, it seems to have actually gotten worse. And it hasn't changed.
You're right, Ann. It's sad, but I would caution you. It's a small group of individuals that are doing it. If we hadn't already, we have to identify those people, and we have to make them a project. And I don't mean a project by profiling. I mean a project by, we need to know where they're at. We need to know what we're doing. We need to know what their targets are. We need to know who they're hanging out with. That way we can build a case against these people, because we have gang laws in South Carolina, but these gang laws are very complex, and it takes data in order to charge these people under the gang laws. So we have to dedicate one, maybe two people to nothing but gangs. And you don't want to dedicate one person, because you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. If you have two people, that's all they do is gang violence. They identify these people. They figure out what they're doing. They track them, and you'll put a stop to it. It's not profiling. It's because those people have come a nuisance to our community.
Well, they've been arrested before.
They have.
Almost all of them have been surrounding, you know, revolving doors.
That's exactly right. And you know, the mall situation, the way the trial happened was unfortunate. But we have to go with the court system. The court system said they were not guilty. So we have seen.
But I think they've proved that they have been guilty in other things since then.
Well, they have, and that's what I was getting at. You know, we've proven that these guys are guilty in other things, and you know, they're just wreaking havoc on our community. And when innocent people start getting shot, like I understand, a young lady got shot in an apartment complex. She didn't have anything to do with it. They hit the wrong apartment. That's happened twice in Greenwood County. You know, it happened a couple years ago where they shot into the wrong apartment and shot a guy in the stomach. So when you start shooting innocent people, I mean, every life is important. Every life should be valued. But when you start shooting people that don't have anything to do with the madness, we're getting way out of hand. And we got to get that back under control, and we got to get it back under control quick.
Now, I remember when Tony Davis was sheriff, he had a very good working relationship with Chief Brooks.
Yes, ma'am.
I would have to think that that would be important, that if y'all were working together, that that would make a big difference, particularly when you look at the equipment that the sheriff's office has, the equipment that the police office has, that and besides that, the sheriff's territory is over the top of the police area.
That's correct. And, you know, relationships are very important, Ann. You got to have relationships. But I hadn't started building relationships yesterday because I started running for sheriff. I've been building relationships my entire career. And it is very important that all the chiefs of police and the sheriff work together. It's very important that the sheriff works with the fire departments. It's very important he works with EMS good, because those are people that are in and out houses all the time, and they see stuff that they'll tell you about. Now, you can't make a case off of it, but you can make a mental note off of it and say, hey, that's a good lead. Mm-hmm. But the chief and I have never had any crosswords. I have talked to the chief one-on-one on many occasions, and I believe if I'm elected next sheriff that he'll have the same respect for me as he has for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have to remember that the sheriff's department is the largest police agency in the county. Therefore, we have more resources, we have more equipment, we have more manpower, and it's very important for these smaller agencies to have a relationship with us, because we can bring the army, you know what I mean? So it's very important, and you know, I think
it's
we can
like
do
kind of like having a relationship with the governor.
That's right. We can do a lot of good if we work together. We're not going to do not near the amount of good that we would do if we worked against each other.
You know, I think, though, that's all good, but I think everybody at this point just wants to see results. They just want results. And my question is, can one person over another really make a difference?
Well, I can tell you this, Ann. People want to see results.
Yes.
And if you think what you've been getting for the last 3.5 years, you know who to vote for. If you don't, you got options. And I'll tell you that I care absolutely nothing about the title of sheriff. I don't care about having it on my shirt. I don't care about going to social events and being recognized. I care about results. I care about progress. And when I leave, if elected, I want to make sure I can look back and say, I made a difference. And
do you think in today's world that's possible?
I think it is possible, Ann. You know,
I mean, we look at all these sheriffs, you know, all these law enforcement offices across the country. They've had all this rioting and all this stuff has been happening. Some have handled it very well. Some have not. And, you know, some of the largest in the country have not been able to handle it well.
Well, Greenwood, South Carolina is different, Ann. And I think that in Greenwood, we have to look at what's going on around the country. And we have to say, all right, if this is going to happen here, what are we going to do about it? We need to be proactive in our approach. But I also think that as police officers and public officials, we can't give up. If we give up, where are we going to be? If we give up, what are our children going to grow up to? If we give up, how bad can it get? We have to make sure that we, you know,
keep, just look at Chicago and you can know how bad it gets.
And keep fighting the fight, Ann. You know, I see people on Facebook all the time. They say, well, y'all just going to put them in jail and the judge is going to let them out. But we can't give up, Ann. if we give up.
Well, that brings up another question, because this has come up about people being put in jail and then the solicitor, and its office, not prosecuting or saying, y'all don't have enough information, we got to let them go. What you going to do?
Well, I could tell you what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I want to get with the solicitor very early on in my administration, and I want to come up with the 8th Circuit Task Force. And I want to do Newberry, Greenwood, Abbeville, and Lawrence. I want the 8th Circuit to be in a task force. I think it'll help us out with combating drugs, because often these people go across county lines and you run into a different jurisdiction. And what that'll do for us, Ann, that'll bring a prosecutor on staff with us that will basically head up this unit, and everything will run through that prosecutor. And the prosecutor can help us build better cases on the front, because we are not lawyers. Mm-hmm. We're at a point in our management and criminal justice where you just about got to have an attorney, because you're going up against attorneys all day long. Mm-hmm. So we're already at a disadvantage when we don't have an attorney. So if we had this task force, all your violent crimes, all your gangs, all your drugs, all of that could be in that task force, because they're going all across county lines. They're going across jurisdictions.
And the 8th Circuit covers all those.
And the 8th Circuit covers it. And the other side of that, Ann, is currently we do not have representation in the courtroom. I've worked for sheriffs that had representation in the courtroom, and we would hit some home runs, but it's because we were there speaking our perspective on these individuals, telling the judge, hey, these individuals are wreaking havoc. If a police officer stands up there under oath and tells the judge what's going on, what more can we do? We've went on record. We've told the judge what's going on. Now it's on the judge to make up a decision. But if we have representation in General Sessions Court, every time court is in session, I feel like we'll have a better response from what comes out of it. Because what happens now is we don't have representation. We find out about it 2 or 3 weeks later, and it's like wildfire. Everybody gets mad. But you're getting mad. Well, you didn't have nobody there when the guy was being sentenced. So we need to have representation in the courtroom, and I believe we need to condense our resources into a task force that can cover the whole 8th Circuit.
So you're saying this attorney from the prosecutor's office would be kind of like saying, well, this part of the case is weak. You know, if you're going to try to prosecute this case, we're going to need information about A, B, and C.
That's exactly right, Nan. And when you write a search warrant for a drug search warrant, the prosecutor can look at every line on the search warrant and say, well, I think you should do a little bit better job here. Or if you're doing surveillance, the prosecutor say, well, you got two, let's get one more. You know, the prosecutor can guide us into making great cases. Right now, what happens is, unless the investigator reaches out to them, which I used to do a lot of, but what happens is the first time they see the case is when it falls on their desk. So if we can get them on the front end of making the case, we'll make stronger cases, they'll be confident about the case, and they'll have a better success rate on prosecuting it.
Well, that is something I hadn't heard. So that sounds like a good idea, and certainly would give you some backbone there.
Yes, ma'am.
Because you'd have somebody looking it over.
Yes, ma'am.
That's did they ever have any of that with any in the sheriff's department? Have any of our previous sheriffs had this?
The only thing the previous sheriffs have had is Sheriff Davis and Sheriff Wideman had a dedicated investigator that was in court every time court was in session. That way, if a repeat offender was getting sentenced, it didn't slip through the cracks without us knowing about it, and we could stand up in front of a judge and voice our opinion. Or not our opinion, our facts. That hey, this guy is a nuisance, you know, and
that he's been arrested before, and
that's correct.
And this
yes,
type
ma'am.
Of thing has
yes,
happened.
Ma'am.
Well, those are all, I think those are good ideas. We definitely need to do something on this. You are listening to WCRS. Now, well, I'm going to give you a few more minutes here because we haven't talked about drugs. What's going to happen on the drugs? This seems to be ruining everything. Drugs seems to be driving a big part of our crime part here.
It does. Drugs drives it. Drugs fuels gang violence. Drugs fund gang violence. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of gang members sell drugs, but you know
that's how they recruit, I would presume.
And drugs relate to a lot of crime in our community, and you know, people using drugs, people breaking into things because they want to get money for drugs. Mm-hmm. But drugs is a big problem, and that's something we got to combat too. One thing we got to do as police officers is, when citizens call in and give us tips, we got to listen to them, and we got to do something about it. We at least got to take the information and try to follow up on it. Because,
well, you know, I have a point about that. You know, I know that we have Crime Stoppers is now a statewide number.
Yes, ma'am.
I think when it was the old-fashioned way, when there was just a phone and a recorder there, I think people felt then that it wasn't able to be traced or anything else. It was a better way than that or using 911 for tips.
Well, it's like anything else. These agencies are condensing, you know, their resources and trying to make it more streamlined. Mm-hmm. And I think that...
You need to get closer. Yeah.
I think that... I've seen some good Crime Stopper tips, but it does take a while to get to the local agency. I mean, they have an email chain that they do, but if somebody's not checking it, it might take a day or two to get there. But that's just the way that these agencies...
And how do you get people to feel safe, and how do you get people to feel that it's okay to snitch on something that's wrong? You know, nobody wants to be a snitch, right? Yeah, nobody does. So how do you get people to come forth when you have somebody that's really a bad actor, and these people are absolutely afraid? They are afraid, and they're so afraid that they're afraid they're going to get killed or shot or something's going to happen to them if they open their mouths.
Well, believe it or not, Ann, not a lot of people use Crime Stoppers. But on the flip side of that, we got to build good relationships with the community so they know when they're telling us this information that it's safe and that it's not going to get out. Because there's some good people in this community that have given me information over the years, and it has turned into some good cases. But they know without a doubt that they can trust that I'm not going to give them up, you know. And we have to have that trust with these people. I was telling the group I was talking to this morning that there's one person in every community that's basically the pillar of that community, is well respected, and knows everything that's going on in that community. We got to get out of our police cars, and we got to find those people. We got to make relationships with them.
You're talking about within communities, within the community.
Yes.
Within each housing group or...
Every community you go to, and I
they relate... They have what's called a nosy neighbor.
That's exactly right. And I relate, Anne, to down... I'm not going to call the neighborhood, but it's on the south end of town. This one guy, if your light bulb's out on your front porch, he's coming to your house and tell you, hey, your light's out. You know, he knows everything that's going on.
One of those ones that you just go, yes, I know. Get it.
He knows everything that's going on. But those are the people we got to build relationships with, because they give you tips to solve crimes. And that's what it's all about, solving crimes.
Well, I think, you know, I think the Neighborhood Watch was an excellent, excellent program. And they kind of did away with that when Tony Abel went left. And
yes,
they
ma'am.
Did away with that program. It's kind of kept going, but not to the extent that it was. It takes hard hitting every day, working with these communities and having a structure within the community, within these groups, these communities.
It does. And, you know, Neighborhood Watch is not anything that you have to have an agency to do.
No.
We could do that at the sheriff's office. With no problem. You just have to have the manpower to do it. You have to have somebody to stay on top of it.
You got to have people that are willing to step. And when people feel safe in a community, I think they will.
I don't like starting a program and not following up on it. It's easy. We can start programs all day long.
Right.
But I want to see programs with results. It's all about results. We got to have results.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I'm going to give you 2 minutes here to tell us why people should vote for John Long for sheriff here. We've run over a little bit, but that's okay.
I got you. Republican candidate for sheriff, John Long. I've been doing it for 17 years. I've worked my way up from the bottom. I started at detention center, went to the evidence custodian job, then I went to crime scene investigator, then I went to uniform patrol, then I went to criminal investigations, then I went back to uniform patrol, and then after that I ended up on the command staff. That was my last stint at the sheriff's office. I left as a lieutenant in 2018, went to Lawrence County for 2 years, and now I'm running for sheriff. So I would encourage everybody, regardless of how you vote, to get out and vote on June the 9th. It doesn't matter your party affiliation. Anybody can vote in the June 9th primary. And your vote is very important. It's your voice. And if you feel like you've been getting what you should be getting over the last 4 years, your decision is very easy. But if you don't, you have plenty of options.
All right. So I guess you'd like to ask for their vote.
I would. Vote John Long on June 9th.
He's even got a shirt on it. It says, John Long for Greenwood County Sheriff. Oh, and up at the very top, it says, elect in real small letters. John Long, thank you so much. Would you like to give a telephone number if people have questions after hearing this interview or want to catch up with you?
Yes, ma'am. My phone number has been published my entire career. It's 864-377-0880, and I have an email, 2020johnlong@gmail.com, or you can message me on my campaign Facebook account.
Okay, so what's that telephone number again?
864-377-0880.
John Long, it's been a pleasure having you on this afternoon. Good luck. It is a week from today that the official voting will end at the end of 7 o'clock.
Yes,
on
ma'am.
This a week from today. So good luck.
Thank you for having me in, Ann.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood.